You know, everyone deals with grief in their own way, but having the help of a professional can make a big difference. Next up, we'll talk about how and what to look for when seeking help. Larry Mueller here and my guest, Dr. Shyla Merghain. She's a distinguished psychologist at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, and she specializes in adjustment issues, mood, and anxiety disorders. And I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about dealing with your own grief? Did professional help have you? What have your experiences been? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Shyla Merghain, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, it's an honor to be with you today, Larry. Thanks for having me.
You know, we just spoke with Warren Kozak. I don't know if you were able to hear any of it, but he was writing about the death of his wife. And he emphasized, not only in the book, but here in talking with us, that everyone in his experience, at least the people he's talked to, everybody kind of grieves differently. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think Warren really captured so much of the challenges and complexities of mourning the death of a spouse. And I think most people could agree that your entire world changes when your spouse dies. And grief can be a complicated thing. I think in our country, we don't necessarily see models of grief. We often don't know how to grieve, and it can be challenging to grieve. And so really, you know, I hope we can talk about and also have listeners call in about some ways to take care of yourself when you're grieving the loss of a spouse.
Yeah, there's so much. Is there basic advice you have about dealing with loss?
You know, absolutely. I think grief can show up in so many different ways. When a spouse passes away, you know, there can be so many life changes that you feel unprepared for. There can be quiet in the house that you're not used to. Your routines and rituals can change. I think many people find that their spouse was responsible for one thing. Like, I think of my grandmother. My grandfather put gas in the car every day. And when he passed away, she actually didn't know how to put gas in the car.
Yeah.
Kind of an extreme example. But, you know, maybe you don't know how to pay the bills, or all of a sudden you're responsible for making a meal, or you're having to mow the lawn. And so it can feel really overwhelming. And grief, there is the emotional pain, like sadness. Some people, there can be numbness or shock at the loss initially. Then you usually go through sorrow. There can be anger at your spouse for leaving you. There even can be guilt. Guilt that you weren't the one taken, or even guilt that you didn't do something that they asked you to do, and you're kind of ruminating around that. All those feelings are normal, and you can kind of cycle through them. And there's no right or wrong way to mourn. I think Warren really highlighted that, and no rules about how you should feel. And then there's also physical pain that can come up. In addition to maybe feeling really tearful and crying easily, you might experience trouble sleeping, problems with concentration. Maybe it's hard making decisions. You feel a bit immobilized. And many people can feel a loss of interest in food, like they're not making food or they're not wanting to eat. And it can be hard work trying to put your own life back together in the face of kind of a seismic loss to your life.
So there's a lot there. Ashley in Spooner has something for us. I think we should go there. Ashley, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I am just calling because I heard you guys talking about grief, and I had lost my 17-and-a-half-year-old son in 2021, and I also had his little brother, who was close to a year and a half. And I just, my question is if, what advice do you have for a mother who's grieving, who still is a mother and sees, you know, my now almost 5-year-old son struggling with grief?
Hmm. Ashley, thank you so much for calling. Dr. Shyla Merghain, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ashley, I'm so, so sorry to hear about the loss of your son. He was just taken way too soon. And I think a couple things really stand out. You know, sometimes there are some things we never get over. And I think the loss of a child and sometimes the loss of a spouse is one of those. I think one of the most important things is trying to find a support system. There are other mothers out there who have lost their children way too young, and sometimes connecting with them, even on social media, there are wonderful groups out there. I think that can be helpful. I'm a big fan of the work of David Kessler. Grief.com is his website. It's a website that offers free virtual supports as well for grief. And so I think that's really helpful. And I think the last thing I want to say, the work of David Kessler, and he has a great book on, we've talked about the stages of grief, but he actually proposes there is a sixth stage when you go through maybe that denial and then sadness and anger and kind of a bargaining phase, I should have, would have, could have phase. He says there's acceptance. He says there's a stage after acceptance, and he says that's making some meaning out of the tragedy, the loss. And sometimes that can be having a special day that you're remembering and celebrating his life. Sometimes that's maybe donating to charity, or maybe even it's making meaning by reaching out to another mother who's lost a young child or a teenager. But sometimes making meaning out of the loss can help us find some light in that darkness.
Yeah, I think that's very, very well said and very appropriate. Ashley, I'm sorry as well for the loss of your son. And David Kessler, again, Shyla, where can we go to, what's his site?
Yeah, grief.com is his site where he talks about the stages of grief. He has a lot of resources. He has podcasts. He probably also has a social media presence too. But there's some free videos, and even has some free webinars and support groups out there. So great resource. If you find, your support system is lacking, I think this can be a place that could be helpful to find some online support as well that's often free.
Thank you again, Ashley, for calling. Let's go to Paula from Milwaukee. Paula, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say your psychologist is right on there with the support groups, but first of all, I lost my husband to a drunk driver, and he decided to take his motorcycle on vacation with us. So we were right behind him, me and the two kids, 12 years old and 16. And the drunk driver crossed the center line and hit my husband on the motorcycle, and he killed him instantly. But then the guy kept driving into us at 55 miles an hour. And so it was a horrible, horrible accident, horrible night. And I just want to say that our psychologist helped us all very much, and the kids included. And you don't realize it, but sometimes they have some things to say about the mother, like me, like, because I'm dealing with my own grief in a different way than they're dealing with their grief. And so we had a great help with, I think the psychologist can speak of EMDR. It was therapy for the kids and me, because we kept feeling that, like, shakiness, like, oh, my God, it happened again. Oh, it happened again. And in the car, anybody who would come close to us with their car, we'd put our legs, or the kids would put their legs up, you know, like that. And so that EMDR helped. I guess I was explained that it changes where the thoughts are in the brain. It doesn't go away, but it goes to the back of the brain, so you can retrieve it as you want to, but it's not in the front of the brain, and it's a light type of therapy, and maybe she can explain that. Also, my last thing is that the support group that me and the children went to, I think it was on 70th and North, very, very helpful. They take the parents in one room. They do different stuff with the kids, all appropriate stuff for helping with the kids and their grief at their time, along with our grief at our time. And I think I'll take the answer off the air.
All right. Paula, thank you so much. Shyla?
Oh, Paula, I'm so sorry. And such a tragedy. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry, you and your children and husband, all. It's horrific. And I really appreciate it took courage to call today. And I also think you offered some solace to people listening too. And you bring up such important points. You're also talking about complicated grief, which affects about 7% of people who recently lost a close one. And I think complicated grief is associated with kind of intense, prolonged grief, having trouble resuming your own life, also feeling unable to comprehend the loss. And there can be overly negative emotions, maybe isolating, being unable to find meaning or purpose in your life. And I think you bring up sometimes loss is associated with trauma, you know, to be witnessing your husband being killed in such a horrific, reckless manner, and then having the motorcycle come into you. And trauma can be one of those things that can lead to complicated grief. And I really appreciated you talking about working with a grief counselor who specializes in loss that you can work one-on-one with. And EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing Therapy. It's one really effective form of treatment for trauma. There can be several. EMDR is one. When trauma happens, think about it as kind of being frozen in our brain, metaphorically. So when we think about what happened, when we talk about it, when we're reminded of it, it elicits really intense emotion. Unlike if you think about what you had for breakfast, you remember it, but there's no emotion. So EMDR can help by moving between the right brain and the left brain. It sounds like you used a light bar that went back and forth. So you're doing eye movements going back and forth, left to right. Sometimes people do auditory in your left ear and right ear back and forth, or there can be sensors that you hold that have a sensation, like kind of a sensation, tactile sensation in the left hand and then the right hand back and forth. And that seems to help, that plus that exposure remembering process. So instead of being frozen in the brain.
Yeah, we can continue this, Shyla and Paula. We'll take a quick look at the news and then we'll be back, and Shyla will be with us till 12:30. Stay with us. Thanks so much for listening along on WPR. Larry Mueller here, talking about dealing with loss and grief on the show today. And our guest, Dr. Shyla Mergame, distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Love to hear from you. You can give us a call or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Shyla, as we were breaking for news, we were talking with Paula from Milwaukee, a horrific accident, including the death of her husband, an accident that she was also involved in with the children, with her children as well, and talked about the help that she got from a psychologist. She used EMDR, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. And I think Paula really highlighted something else that is important to keep in mind. When you lose a spouse, you're grieving, but your children are grieving too. And the relationship can change with your children. So, you know, in addition to if you find yourself having grief that is lingering and causing complications, receiving grief counseling is so important, but then also maybe encouraging your children to reach out for professional help as well can be really important.
And just a reminder too, if you're listening and struggling with mental health or some issue of this nature of grief, there's that easy phone call too to 988, which is the crisis hotline or lifeline, as they call it. It's just 988. Jan in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Jan.
Hello. Thank you, Larry, for these guests. They are so helpful. And I just wanted to add my two cents of something that was very helpful when my husband died. I was given a very small book called Healing After Loss by Martha Hickman, H-I-C-K-M-A-N. It's daily meditations for working through grief. I read the for an entire year because it is a daily meditation. And then I go back to it every once in a while because it's amazing. I've passed this book, bought many, many books and given them to friends, and they say the same thing, which is kind of interesting. They'll say, it's uncanny how this book speaks to the needs of the day.
Oh, Jan, thank you so much. Healing after a loss. Shyla, comment?
So helpful, Jan. Thank you for sharing that resource. And having that kind of daily focus can be helpful. Many people experience a sense of loneliness. Maybe they've never lived alone after the loss of a spouse, and having something you can focus on each and every day is useful. So a daily book like that might feel really supportive and validating, even give you some coping strategies. I also think making sure you are making plans and staying active, having things to do every day. And if you're working or retired, having that plan in place, like maybe you're going to the senior center or you're visiting the library for a free resource they offer. I'm always in favor of people adopting a pet so they have that fur friend in the household. Making sure you're staying in touch with family and friends, or maybe even exploring a hobby like joining a singing group or a bowling league. I think initially after the loss of a spouse, there's tremendous support. People come with casseroles and there might be the memorial service or funeral, but several weeks, several months later, it can feel quite empty and alone. So I think that's why having a book like that can be so helpful, The Healing After Loss by Martha Hickman, or just making sure you're getting out and staying active is really helpful.
Yeah. Jan, thank you so much for calling. Kathleen in Madison, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you for the topic today. So many of us need this support and these ideas. My question for Dr. Merghain is this. I'm wondering if in her practice she sees differences in how men and women grieve the loss of a spouse. I mean, do they come to you with different concerns? Do they need different kinds of therapy? What might be different for men and women?
Good question. Thank you, Kathleen. What about it, Shyla?
You know, that's a great question and really speaks to people can grieve in different ways. And often men and women do need different things as well. And again, when I think about that, oftentimes there can be struggles, like maybe a husband that is now a widower may have not been responsible for some of the household tasks, and that can be challenging. Or maybe for a woman and losing her husband, maybe she's not used to the yard work. But I think, you know, there is commonality that men and women share many of the same feelings when a spouse dies. Both may deal with the pain of loss, and also both may worry about the future. I think there's some research on the widowhood effect, that men who are widowers might have an increased risk of dying compared to a woman who's a widower. So I go back to, it's so important to maintain a social support network, get out, stay active, find that sense of meaning and purpose. And I also say it can be challenging if all your friends are couples. So if you're now a widower and joining the couples for the Friday night dinner, it can really highlight the fact that your spouse is no longer there. So it might be important if you're going out with your couple friends to find a new way of connecting, like maybe taking a walk or going to see a movie together, so it doesn't have to feel as challenging.
Good points, Kathleen. Thank you for calling. Denise in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm about 21 months out of my husband's passing. He died within 9 months or 9 weeks of a brain tumor diagnosis. Totally unexpected. And now my mom's in hospice. And our family was fractured and my kids have disappeared. from helping with my mom, wanting to do visit anything. So I know the previous author, Warren Kozak, talked about how close he got to his daughter, I think it was. But what do you do when your family, it's a triple loss, the loss of my husband, not being having time to grieve, then dealing with my mom, and then now the loss of my children. And I've been told, you know, that you should just lower your expectations. But when they disappear from your life, and that's your family, yeah. I don't know how you find meaning, because I understand you have to accept the death, and then part of that acceptance is accepting to create a new life. But what? How do you do that when there doesn't seem to be anything left? And how do you repair family fractures?
Wow. That's a big one. I'm really sorry, Denise, for what you are going through. Dr. Shyla Morgane, what do you think?
Yeah, Denise, I think you're not alone in experiencing that. I think oftentimes the death of a spouse or the end of life for your mother can start to create fracture in families. I think finances is the number one cause of fracture in families, and I think it speaks to, you know, making sure you have your legal and financial affairs in order. And after the loss of a spouse, a person might need to update their will or get their advanced care planning, or maybe changing where the house or car is titled. And it can be one of those things that can cause that fracture as people are upset about how things have been divided. And it sounds like it's really important, Denise, to, you know, you love your kids and miss them. And so sometimes changing expectations around how they might be involved in your mom's time in hospice, and maybe trying to reconnect in some ways that feel a little more neutral, and reaching out and seeing what might work for them to maintain that connection and get together. I also will say that it sounds like there's a lot of, it's like multiple grievings happening at once, right? The loss of your husband after a brain tumor and your mom in hospice. And grief can take time. I've seen that first year can be rough. I think even that second year can be challenging. And sometimes having a little bit of patience for one's adult kids in the process, maybe extending an olive branch or two by reaching out, checking in, maybe expressing a desire to get together. That's important. And having some patience in the process, because, you know, time heals, and sometimes it just takes a certain amount of time for people to feel like they're kind of moved on, they're in that place of acceptance and ready to proceed.
Yeah. Denise, good luck, and thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You were talking about some of the financial things, and I was thinking back to Warren's book, Waving Goodbye, where he does have a checklist of things of that nature, things that he thought he had correct, but wound up costing him a fair amount of money to get fixed, because the wills and all that were not quite the way they should have been. And he describes a little of that in detail, and it can be really sad to have to deal with things like that when you already have so many problems. You can join in too. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Basically, the goal of counseling, get us going on the right track, cure us. What's the goal there, Shyla?
Oh, I think, as a psychologist, I think everyone can benefit from counseling, but having a safe person that's neutral, just to provide a supportive presence where you can talk about the loss, you can express emotions about it, you can share your inner world, your inner experience in a safe, supportive environment. There is power to putting words to what you're going through with somebody that is a professional that has strategies and resources. And I think that one of the most healing aspects of working with a counselor is just them witnessing your love of your spouse or loved one, the loss, the complexity of the emotions that are arising. There's healing there just by having that witness. And I think going to somebody who's a professional can be so important because that person, again, is neutral. They don't have any invested stake in it. I think talking to friends or, again, family members, right, they may be missing your loved one too. So it doesn't, they might have their own grief they're processing. And so it often can be helpful, but going to that counselor who has that knowledge in grief and maybe trauma and healing can be sometimes just the right ingredient. You'll never forget, but it can help you feel like you're moving through the grief so you can live fully. And sometimes that's the best thing we can do in remembrance of the person we lost is live fully and carry their light forward.
Hmm. Cindy in Stevens Point has something for us. Let's go there. Cindy, hi.
Hi. I lost a sister 3 years ago and then her husband unexpectedly the following year. And it changes the whole dynamic. I've lost my father, my mother, and now my sister. And it changes the whole dynamic. The family reunions, they stopped. All kinds of stuff stops. And it's like everybody starts figuring out what they want to do with their own families and their lives. So my brothers and sisters and I just don't get together anymore. And I think that lady that feels so alone, I think she needs to, like you said, maybe find a counselor, but also depend on your friends. But you have to call and tell them what you need because your friends don't read your mind. And we all just expect people to show up and help us. It's not going to help and happen unless you ask. And you have to say, I really need you to come over so I can talk to you. Or will you help me with this? And I think that's what that lady that just called about her children and her mother and the loss of her husband. I think she needs to start asking people for help.
Yeah.
You know?
Cindy, thank you for calling. What do you think, Shyla?
Yeah, Cindy, thank you for sharing. And we're so sorry about the loss of your sister. And what you highlight is you're not only losing that loved one, but you're often losing those traditions or those routines or those experiences that were just standard when that person was alive. For you, it's the family get-togethers. For others, it might be having those adult kids come over all the time. And that can be a secondary loss that you're grieving. And I think what I love with that advice you gave is that it's okay to make the first move when it comes to planning things to do. Reach out to that friend, invite them over, make plans with that person. And it's also great to be open to new experiences and maybe find an activity that you might want to explore where you can have fun and meet people who like to do the same thing. And we do in our communities often have places like a senior center or a place to volunteer where you can be around like-minded people and maybe you're doing an activity together, which is really good bonding. And you can strengthen meaningful relationships with maybe new friends who over time can feel like your adopted family members.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, Barbara in Madison will give you an opportunity. Thanks for calling, Barbara.
Thank you. It's been 25 years since my mother and my husband died, and not at the same time, but very close together. And I went right back to work. I work in an operating room. And I think there comes a time when you have to say that things that you felt were hurtful at the time were not meant to be hurtful. I had my boss who gave me lunch the first week I was back within a week or so after my husband's death. I came back from lunch and he says, well, I'm working on the newsletter. What's new in your life?
Oof.
That was a week after my husband died. I had another friend who asked me 2 weeks later, how long did you grieve? And I realized later that he was Jewish and I think he was talking about sitting Shiva. I think mm-hmm. that's what it's called.
Yeah.
But the one that hit me the hardest was totally innocent. but everybody in the operating room just stopped what they were doing. My mother had donated her body to the medical school. She had always said, if some resident or intern can learn something that helps somebody or saves a life, I want them to do it. If they can dissect my hand and learn how to repair an injury. But I'm working in the operating room, and this resident runs in all excited and tells the resident that's working, as soon as you're done, come down to the lab. We've got some new heads to work on. Mother's head.
Oh, boy. Well, Shyla, what can you say?
Oh, Barbara, whew, that must have been just so painful and heartbreaking. And really appreciated you calling and sharing this, because I think you're also really suggesting for people to be prepared for family members and friends to not know what to say, or to say the wrong things, or even try to comfort you with cliches like, oh, she's in a better place. Oftentimes people may be well-meaning, but they can be uncomfortable with grief. They don't know how to talk about death. And as you're highlighting, like with your boss, it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't care. And it can be empowering just to tell people you're close with what you need or don't need. You probably don't need a lot of unwanted advice. You might just need somebody to sit and just listen. Just listen so you can talk and they are just listening. And often I give people the advice, if you are listening and trying to support somebody in grief, you don't have to say a lot. You can just say something like, oh, you know, I feel your pain. I don't even know what to say, but I care about you. I'm here. Something like that can be one of the most powerful things. Like, I'm just here. I just want to listen. That's often what people need.
I think the other point that Barbara is making, maybe indirectly, is that here it's been 25 years and she has not forgotten. She hasn't forgotten her husband, and she hasn't forgotten the comments that stuck with her. And I don't know how you get through that. Try to understand, or how you move on from that.
Yeah, I think, as I said at the beginning, some losses I don't know if we ever fully get over. We just learn how to move through the world with them. There was an author who wrote about grief saying it's kind of like a missing tooth that your tongue goes to, and you feel that hole. I think that can be when these loved ones we hold so dear are gone in the physical form. How do we, you know, we move with it, we carry it. And sometimes, and I think the previous author talked about faith and spiritual religious tradition sometimes can be quite comforting in whatever way works for you. As it maybe can help you hold that loss so you can continue to move forward with your own life, which again is a great tribute to the legacy that they live by, you moving forward, living your life as fully as possible.
That's a very good point, Shyla. I want to thank you today for taking time to be with us. I think this is an important show. I hope we can replay this show at some time or continue with the same topic down the road. Dr. Shyla Mergane, our guest, distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And I want to thank everybody who phoned in today. I know it was hard for a lot of people to speak up, but believe me, your comments were well appreciated, and I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone. So means that we'll have to do this again down the road. Thank you all. Thanks to Dr. Shyla, and thank you for listening today. Tomorrow, we're back to Friday, and that's Garden Talk. And so we'll be talking about prairies on the show tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mehler.